John's Gospel, chapter 3, perhaps the most recognized chapter in the Bible, contains the most recognized verse in the Bible. I'm not going to preach from John 3:16 this morning. I'm going to stop short of that verse. But I suppose we've all memorized that verse. All of us that are capable of memorizing have memorized that one more than once. Memorized it, forgot it, memorized it again, and reach a certain age and it's just there after that. Many a person who has gone out from the folds of the Father, gone out from the walls of the church into their own wayward life, the Holy Spirit has brought that verse, John 3:16, back again to their mind. What a blessed verse and a wonderful verse it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But in the first part of this chapter, there's a man that's involved that sometimes we criminalize because of his lack of faith or his lack of understanding or the way in which he went around about seeking answers to his questions. I don't want to criminalize him. I don't want to demonize him. I don't want to hurt Nicodemus in any way this morning, because I think that Nicodemus quite often shows us where we might be. We might be able to see a little bit of ourselves in Nicodemus from time to time. You may not like that. You may take that as a slap in the face. It's not intended to be that way, because your opinion of Nicodemus might be that he was a bad guy. Or he might be, in your mind, a weakling. But on the other hand, it could very well be that Nicodemus was a very sincere seeker. Very well could be that Nicodemus's heart was crying out for something more that he felt and thought that he saw in the teachings and in the life of Jesus Christ. You say, well, he was afraid. He went to him by night. I know, we can look at that. We can take that little phrase out of there and bring it up before Nicodemus all the time. But I don't know that it's always that bad of a deal. Let's look at it here together. Begin reading with verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm not smart enough to figure out this morning necessarily how this verse, how the answer that Jesus gives him correlates with the question that he raised. Or where we even find that he even asked a question. His statement was that we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. And Jesus said, way over here somewhere, except a man be born again. Verse number 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Now Nicodemus starts asking questions. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel? Another translation says, Art thou the teacher of Israel? He's one of the higher ups of the Pharisees. He's a teacher, one of the main teachers. And knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. The thing that stands out in this passage of Scripture, perhaps more than anything else, are the simple words that Jesus gave to Nicodemus at the very beginning, the very outset, and he carries them through. He stands by them. The simple words, ye must be born again. Now, in the midst of this parable, or in the midst of this story, we find that the story unfolds that the life of Nicodemus is really, I believe that it is giving to us the reality of humanity. If you don't want to include yourself in humanity there under that kind of a definition, then I guess that's fine. But I believe that what we find here with Nicodemus is the reality of humanity. Because, the reason why I say that is because we as humanity do not understand the simple things of God. We do not understand, I mean comprehend and grasp the simple things of God. In the midst of all of the study that we may do, in the midst of all of our, even our limited understanding, we raise our own questions. We have our own questions. There's not a one of us here this morning that has a mind capable of attempting to grasp, that we begin to raise questions. We begin to formulate questions. We ask questions in relationship to why. Why this and why that? Why does this person who professes to be a Christian do this? Why does this seem to be so important to some people but not to this person? We raise questions in relationship to why in so many different areas of the religious spectrum. We raise questions in the area of where. Where did this thing take place? Where is it found that this is so important? Where? And so we ask questions about where. We ask questions about how. Nicodemus was sort of doing that. How? How can these things be? How can I know that I'm saved? How can I have that witness bright and clear? How can I have an assurance? How can I know that what you teach and what you preach as a pastor and a preacher, how can I know that what you're saying is really true and not somebody else at some, what you would call, preacher, a nominal church? How do I know that what you're saying is right and what they're saying is wrong? How? We also ask the questions of when. When can I begin to know that I'm a Christian? When can I first experience this? When will I really have the assurance? Or when does this take place? And when does that take place? And we talk about initial salvation or initial sanctification and entire sanctification. When does all of these things transpire and regeneration? When does that take? Justification, when does that take? We have all of these. We can have all of these questions formulated in our mind as to what is this religious experience all about? So often a question is raised as well, and that's what? What is this all about? What is this Christian experience that you speak of? What is this being born again? What does this have to do with me? And what is this? What is this? And Nicodemus was asking what? It appears to me that Nicodemus was lost in the mystery of religious belief. He didn't understand it. He wasn't grasping what was being given. There was a mystery there to him. Dr. Mayfield said there are many who dichotomize the world and spiritual experience. Earthly things speak to them of certainty and reality. Heavenly things speak to them of mystery, the unreal, and superstition. But as Jesus so clearly pointed out to Nicodemus, all of life is a matter of some mystery. All of life is a matter of some mystery. Did that ever occur to you that that's really what life is? There's mystery in all points of life. Listen to what he had to say further. Even the most learned scientists stand in awe when faced with the problem of the meaning of the universe. No man can live without some kind of faith in someone or something. No man can live without some kind of faith in someone or something. So when somebody says, well, it just doesn't seem real. It's not possible. It takes too much faith to believe in the Spirit.